been thinking some today about how the Lord died for us. I'm so glad He did. And I was thinking about the time that He was crucified. And the time that He gave up the ghost. And the Scripture says that a number of things happened. One of them was that the veil in the temple rent. And to me, signifying that the holiest of holies that was separated by that veil, Jesus entered that through His own blood, the Scripture says. But that was rent at His death, at that moment of time. I believe at the time that He died was at the time that the priest would have been in there doing the administration. So there would have been people there to have witnessed the account that when that happened, that veil, and there's descriptions of it, that it was made rather thick. The veil was a very thick woven linen that was woven together. It was very strong, but it rent in two, signifying that the law was over, that the law had been fulfilled, that the access was granted. Now, once for all, Jesus paid it. He said, "It's finished." Yeah. The plan of salvation now, all the leading up through the law and all of the shadow of the old law now, it all come to fruition that Christ is on the cross. He gave it up, and at that moment it rent and it opened up. It opened up the holiest of holies. It was available now. Always before, there was the high priest went in there, what was it, one time, and he had to make a sacrifice and certain things had to be in order, and he was able to go in there, but that all ceased because you're no longer looking at the shadow, but the reality of it was made in Christ and it was opened up. I hope you take that personal tonight, because the plan was opened up now. The access into God was available now to you, to me, to anyone that would want it, desire it, that it's opened up, you can have it. You can have a better life now because of it. You don't have to be, as Brother Sammons used to say, you don't have to be a horse thief anymore. You don't have to be a liar anymore. You don't have to be a drunkard. You don't have to be an addict. You don't have to be addicted to this substance of this world any longer. You don't have to be subject to your old passions of the flesh and passions of self. You don't have to be in subjection to that anymore, because that veil rent now. And there's an access into the power, into where it's either the holiest of holy. That's where the ark was at. That's where the cherubims was at. That's where God Himself dwelt. In type. That's where He was at. And the access now, it's not through some earthly priesthood anymore. It's not through a man. It's not through the vicar of the Son of God. It's not through a mediator on this earth anymore. It's through our high priest. It's through Christ. Now you have an access through Christ to the holiest of holies, into the presence of God. I thank God for that tonight. I thank God that I don't have to be subject to the old passions anymore. I appreciate that tonight. I want to look at a very familiar scripture. It's in Luke. Let's see. No, Matthew 11 is where I want to start. I imagine we've all quoted this scripture a time or two. Matthew 11 and 28. It says, "Come unto me." I want to stop right there a minute. This is Jesus talking. And He said, "Come unto me." But who are you? that I'm coming to. We mentioned the other day, what descriptions did the Bible give of Jesus? You know, as when we start identifying one another, we'll say, I'll say it quite regularly. Somebody will mention something to me and I can't quite get it who it was, and I'd say, well, what's he look like? Well, they tell me what he looks like. And they usually will start out by saying, well, he's a real tall guy. He's a real short guy. He's wide or he's thin. He's got a mustache. He's got a beard. He's got one eye that droops, or he's got an ear cut off. Anything that marks or denotes who he's got a scar. He's got this. He's a good. Well, I'm just telling you, it's what people will say. Well, he's a real good looking feller, or he's not so good looking, or he's got this feature about him, or he's got that feature. Because you and I, we relate to that. That's the way we can know. But what do you know about Jesus, this physical man? What did the Bible say? It's amazing. It amazed me. I don't know. Maybe you think differently than I do. But because I know what human nature is like, it's amazing to me that God deliberately left out what Jesus looked like.
That's true.
How tall was he? Does the Scripture say how tall Jesus was? Well, if Jesus was 6'2", most humans that ain't 6'2" would be wishing they was. I mean, if you're going to be like Jesus, we think that way. The Bible didn't say he was 6'2". We don't know how tall he was. Very little in his physical appearance was shown at all. One of the things that was said in Isaiah, it did say that he wasn't anything, how did it say it? That we should behold him. He wasn't comely. There is a prophecy of that. Another one, the 50th Isaiah said something, they plucked the hairs from his face. I don't know, maybe had some hair on his face. I don't know. It's really hard to say, but the Scripture didn't say he had one eye lopped or he was a good looking. He wasn't so good looking. He was tall, he was thin, he was fat. Had broad shoulders or narrow. It didn't say, because he didn't want us thinking about that. When Jesus said, come unto me, we wasn't coming to a movie star. We wasn't coming to somebody that was appealing to the flesh. We wasn't coming to somebody that was going to do it here. See, God wanted us, when he said, Jesus said, come unto me, he wanted us going to what he really is. Do you know who he really is tonight? There is debates in this religious world all the time of just about how much of this can we really attain here on this earth? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus said, come unto me. What do you want tonight? How do you really want? What's your deepest heart's desire? What do you really want? Jesus said, come unto me. To me, Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is right. Jesus is goodness. Jesus is love and mercy and long-suffering. I don't mind going to him, folks. I've learned him. And when I'm not exactly altogether feeling like I've done what I should have done, I can go to him. Because he's that character to me. He's that loving one that reaches his hands out. And when he gives invitation, I want tonight for us to realize that an invitation has been given out to you tonight. Because when Jesus died, the veil rent and he made access. He did more than just open it up, and now there it is. He is active in now that he is inviting you into it. He is saying, you are welcome to it. I've done it for you. You don't have to stand off and say, no, that was for another time. That's for another people. That's for another era. I can't have it here in this life. No, he's opening it up to you. And saying, I'm inviting you to myself. And what I am, you can be too. Embrace me. Embrace my righteousness. Embrace my holiness. Embrace my love, my compassion, my concern, my long-suffering, meekness, kindness, temperance, faith. All these things that he... Embrace me. Come unto me. Now, I've told folks this, but when I was a little feller, when I was at home, we never tried to serve the Lord or nothing, but I remember we had a television, and we got one channel kind of fuzzy like. Well, there was one time we was over at a neighbor's house, and I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and we was at a friend's. We used to go visit them, and mom and dad was friends with them, and they had some children, and we was around. Well, they had the TV on, and they had this little a cartoon advertisement came on of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was going to be on Tuesday night or whatever it was. And I remember as a little child, now that would be great to see that. Well, I just thought that would be just wonderful to be able to see that. So I went home and I didn't forget about it. And I kept telling Mom and Dad, we're going to go over there and watch that, ain't we? We're going to go. Well, when it come time that was going, and I knew when it was going to be on, well, they didn't want to go. They didn't go. You know, I couldn't figure out for the life of me why somebody wouldn't want to go do that. It just had me completely, I thought, sure, everybody'd want to go do that. It was my child's mind. I never understood the concept that we wasn't invited. I mean, to me, it was on and it was the thing to do, so we should have just went over and done it. I never had no concept. Children generally don't have the concept of not being invited. Jesus is inviting you. I still go by today. I don't just intrude in on people just like I'm invited to some place that I'm not invited. A lot of times somebody will say, are you going to the wedding? I said, didn't get an invitation. I want to be invited because I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not supposed to be. But the Lord's inviting you. Yeah. He's invited you. He made a plan and a great plan. He made a great way of life. And He's going far enough to say, come. Would you come? Would you be a part of me? I want you. I want you to be a part of this. I want you to have the blessings that I have for you. I want you to be able to enjoy it. Come unto me all, ye that labor and heavy laden. I think that means all ye that labor and heavy and laden, because if you're not laboring and heavy laden, you won't come. It takes the idea that I have a need. When I have something that satisfies me, I'm not wanting anything else that don't. And a lot of times, people are satisfied with sin for a season. They're having fun in their life. You say, well, ain't no fun in sin. Yes, there is. Even the Bible said that there is joy in sin for a season. It's got to take its full path before you see it. A lot of times people are having fun and running around and laughing and doing the things and they think they're having a great time. Sure, there's pleasure in sin for a season. So He says to those that feel in need, that are laboring and working and in hard places and in difficult places and don't know what to do with their life and get to the place that life holds nothing to them. I remember at 23 years old, driving down the highway, and my sister was sitting over in the passenger seat, and we was going along, and I don't know, we didn't do it a lot, but started having a heart-to-heart. And I remember going along, and we was talking about things of life and all, and I said to my sister, I was 23 years old, and I said, Robin, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. With what goes on in my life, I'm miserable. And my sister said she didn't remember it, but she said to me, well, Marty, have you ever thought about God? And it was a smart-aleck remark, I think. She was just saying, we didn't think about God. It wasn't something that she would have said. She didn't think about God. She just said, well, you ever thought about God? And I said, no, I ain't never thought about God. Which was a lie. But I swear, no, I didn't think about God. I didn't want to think about God. It wasn't long. God was thinking about me. God was thinking about me. And He was inviting. You miserable? You heavy laden? You need something in your life? Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And again, the giving here is to understand. Take my yoke. What's your yoke, Lord? And learn of me. Well, what are you? I had a conversation with a young woman one time. She was quite in the holds of smoking. She wanted to quit. She could hardly. And she couldn't hardly have the desire to. She kept justifying herself in the rightness of it. And I was having a conversation of righteous things with her, and I thought I'd come up with a real a good debating point. I said, well, can you picture Jesus, if He was here, in a pair of short cut-off shorts, walking down the beach with nothing but the shorts on and a cigarette hanging out of His mouth? And I thought I made a real good point. And she said, Well, yeah, sure. Well, why not? Can you? Is that your Jesus tonight?
No, sir.
No, that's not my Jesus either.
No.
Learn of me. Take my yoke. What's your yoke, Lord? My yoke is easy. I'm in there pulling with you. Take it on you. What are you going to pull for? You're going to pull for right? You're going to pull for honesty? You're going to pull for integrity? You're going to pull for the good things? You're going to pull for the things that bless and help people? It's going to be a compassionate pull. It's going to be a loving pull. It's going to be long-suffering. It's going to be a blessing to your soul. And you're yoked up with the Lord, so you're not pulling it off. He's helping the whole thing go. Learn of me. What am I learning? I'm learning how gracious He is. When I look at it and look at other people, that's the way I want to perceive it. I want to see other people the way the Lord saw me. He saw me as pitiful and a soul that was lost. And when I was everything that He wasn't, He gave His life for me. He did it for you. And He not only died for you, but He takes the time to call you. Come. Would you come? Wherever you're at in your experience tonight, would you consider coming? The Lord wants you to come with the needs, with your problems. It's forever a statement of the Lord. I've seen pictures with the Lord like this. Come unto me. All? What's all? Brother Salmon said all is all. That's all is. You can't say anything else about all. It means everybody. If you're a part of a body, you're a part of it. You, all. He gives it for all. You are a part tonight. You're invited. You're invited into the grace of God. You're invited into His presence. He wants that tonight. Another scripture. 14th chapter of Luke. Says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. In this analogy, the certain man was the Lord. And he made a great supper. Who's going to come to a supper? Hungry people. Hungry people. A full soul loweth the honeycomb. You just don't want it. I'm full. I'm up to here. I don't want to eat anything else. I have no... You know how it is. I always heard that camp food was better than any other food. You get out and cook your food. Well, yeah, it generally is. Of course, you're hungrier when you're eating it. Usually, when you do it, it takes longer, and you've been out, and so you're hungrier. And the hungrier you are, the better you, more you want it. And a man made a great supper for, and he bade many, and it was free, and he wanted them to come. He invited them. It means to beg. It means to ask. It means to tell them. Would you come and beat it? Got a supper. Got it all prepared. It's a good supper. It's life-giving. It's nutritious. It's a blessing to you. It's substance to you. Come and eat of it. Come and be a part of me. Let me bless you. Let me bless you. Let me alter and change. Let me be a part. And he bade many. He's inviting you tonight. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, come. It's an invitation. Come. Oh, please come. For all things are now ready. And they, all with one consent, began to make excuse. Oh, what's your excuse tonight? Oh, there's always excuses. I remember one time a feller told me, somebody said to him, how come you wasn't at church last night? And he said, because I ran out of peanut butter. And they said, what's that got to do with it? He said, nothing really. But that one excuse is as good as another. He was making fun of excuses. Just as well make up anything because one excuse is as good as another. They all with one consent, or I was like they prepared it already. They all had the same mind of it. Really what they was doing, folks, and I want you to understand this to the fullest, they was degrading the man and his supper. They was depreciating it. They was lessening the value of the man and his great supper. It wasn't worth going to. It won't do you any good. And so they begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. All right? I bought a piece of ground. I don't know. It kind of seems out of order. What did a fellow buy a piece of ground for? He looks at it for it. I don't know. It sounds a little fishy here to me. Also, this was well known that his supper time is well, the day's well spent. Supper time is right pushing up at the end of the day. And he's going to take the very end of his day, he says, to go see this land. In other words, I'm busy and I got this and I got that. And I travel around, folks. I go all over the country, or a good half of the country. Travel in a lot of different places, see a lot of different things. People that name God are getting very indifferent about service. I can't point anything at you, and wouldn't if I knew. But I'm going to tell you, people are getting so indifferent about going to service. It's like there's nothing really there for me. Maybe that's the way it is when you go. I don't know, but I'm seeing more and more people don't really put much into it. They don't really care much. Lord help us. There's an excuse. The first one said, I got a piece of land. Have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray that you have me excused. I don't see anywhere that this couldn't happen the next day, or the day after, or the day after. I've known a lot of times, if you say, well, now he's getting into what they used to say, he was preaching pretty good there for a while, and then he started meddling. I've seen a number of times people say to me, I didn't say nothing to them, they'll say to me, well, Brother Marty, I couldn't make it to Sunday service because we was out of groceries when we just had to go to shopping. We had to go to get groceries. Well, I happen to know what they done the day before. And it was a plenty acceptable day to go and went and done it the day before. And I ain't the boss of anybody, and I wouldn't be if I could be. I'm just saying, where's your heart? Where's your heart? There's Mondays and Saturdays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. There's all kinds of times. Well, where's your heart? There's all kinds of excuses. It ain't just about service, folks. It's about serving God. It's about really giving your heart to God, and then it's about making excuses to why I can't do it. And Moses even tried to say, I can't talk. I can't speak. I just can't do it. Here's the God that can split a Red Sea, but He can't use me. Because I can't talk. Yes, He can. You don't think it. Don't look at yourself and say, I'm inferior. I can't do this or I can't do that. Because God just loves to get somebody like that that gives His whole heart. So there, God's glory can be used.
Amen.
There's no excuse that you can come up with, folks, that works tonight. The Lord is saying, come unto me. And there is no excuse except for me saying, Lord, I don't appreciate what You've done. I just don't care that much about it to give myself to it. But He's calling. I thank God that He calls. He still calls. I think the Spirit of the Lord is still calling. I just think that the ears are getting duller and duller of hearing. But the Lord's still calling. He still wants people to come and to be saved. He still wants people to come to Him that have the experience of salvation, but has more needs in their life. He wants you to go to Him and eat at His supper. To get the needs that He has, it all spread out. Everything that you need or want, whatever you desire, in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We get so kinked up with that, in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The Lord blesses us in this world. But He spread a spiritual, and He wanted people to want that. Lord, I want to have those qualities You have in my life. I don't know what He was in the flesh, but I know what He is in spirit. And when if he was down here, I don't think he'd be. I know he wouldn't be walking around in a cut off pair of jeans and a cigarette hanging from his lip.
No, sir.
That's not God.
No, sir.
Lord, help us to find who He is. Come unto me. Alright, he said he made an excuse. Going to go plow with these oxen. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Recently, there was a couple I know, called me up. Both of them were up in life, a good bit older than I am. They're living for the Lord. And he had lost his wife several years ago. She had lost her husband. And they was interested in one another. And anyway, they called me up. He did. And said, Brother Marty, I got something to ask you. They didn't live in our congregation, lived a ways off. And he called me up. He said, I got something to ask you. He said, we feel the real need of being baptized. And we just wondered, and said, we was up there in at your camp meeting up there, and we just fell in love with the people and the area. And he said, we just thought it would be special if we could come up there. Would you baptize us if we come up there? And I said, oh boy, I'd just love to baptize you. You all come up here, and we talked about it a little bit. And then he said, and I got another question for you. He said, will you marry us when we're up there? And I said, boy, I'd be honored to do it. And so one Saturday there at Labor Day weekend, they come up. We baptized them at noon and married them at 6. Folks, I think the plan was good. I've never heard of it before. But it's a great way to start off a marriage. I wish every marriage would start off that way. Sounds like a good plan to me. This guy marries a wife. What's a wife supposed to be, a detriment to a man? Well, if I get married, I can't go and... If you get married, you better do it. I think the best place this guy could have said was, I got a wife now, I need to go to that supper. Come on, the Lord is asking you. You're going to need me in your life. Would you come? Come to my supper that I've spread for you. You'll find strength there to live life. You're a couple, you just got married, you'll find the grace that you need to be able to get along with one another. Right here at my supper. You'll run into the right thing that you need to eat. You may be a little humble pie. Maybe a little bit of boldness. Maybe a little bit of humility. Maybe something you'll have. But the Lord's got it there at His supper. You can be sure. If it belongs to the Spirit, it's there at His supper for you and I to eat. And He told you, and they all made excuses. And notice every excuse. None of them said, Lord, would you have me excuse? My neighbor's down ailing, and I really need to tend to him and give him some good things of God. Or Lord, I'm in the middle of a fast. I'm in the middle of the fast. Would you excuse me, Lord? I'm in the middle of the fast, and I'm finding some... No one knows. It had to do with secular, carnal, earthly things. It's still the plight today, isn't it? Isn't it what we fight with? I wonder how many people say, I want to be saved before I die. I aim to be saved. I'm going to make it right before I go. But never get the opportunity to do it. One excuse follows another all their life. I aim to get where the Lord wants me to be. I go to church and I've made the profession, but I know I'm not quite there. I know if the Lord would come tonight, that I wouldn't be ready to go. I got things in my life and I'm not quite there, and I'm going to be though, because I really want to serve the Lord, and I'm going to be there, but I'm not quite there, because if I do, I'm going to be taking advantage of this one, or I'm going to take advantage of that one. I'm going to tell you the answers at the supper. The Lord's got the answer to those things right there. I remember reading the story of a preacher who was well known and well respected man in the community, and he come down sick on his deathbed. And he got down to just not long before he was to go away. And those that was caring for him was assuring him, oh, you live for this God, and now it's God might take you on. And at one point the man lifted straight up out of his bed and screamed, I'm not saved. What? Oh, you're just... No, he said, no. No, I'm telling you the truth. I've been 40 years pretending. I've been 40 years a hypocrite. I'm not saved. And they was... And in just a little while, he went out into retirement. Don't you know the Lord called after him all of his life? Would you come? Throw your hypocrisy away. Throw the things away that don't work. Throw your pretense away. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. Why would he be angry? They turned his dad right, didn't they? Turned him down. You know, it's because of the greatness of the feast. It was because of the greatness of what he done that he was angry at them, that they would reject this great feast that he had made for them. And in essence, folks, it's what we say when we say, oh, it's not really against the preacher. It's God. It's not really against the people. It's against God. And I'm going to tell you something. When you serve the Lord, He'll bless you. Make it personal. Now, I know some of you have heard this story, but I like it. Tells on myself. Went to service one day. Was in kind of a place. Oh, I was saved enough. I just didn't have my mind in the service. Went to service and didn't have my mind in it. And the preacher got up and preached and went on and on. And I thought about doing this and I thought about that and my job and this. And I listened to it, the preacher. It was dry. It was so dry. That was dry. I just thought, well, I didn't have to go through this. The preacher was not on fire, saying nothing. Nothing in it. Nothing in the service. And it got through and I was glad. But when it did, Brother Jim White stood up. Good, faithful old brother stood up. And he said, I want to thank God for this good, stirring message today. And I said, I remember looking at him and thinking, well, where was you at? Where was you at? No, the question wasn't where he was at. It was where I was at. He started saying the stuff that the preacher had said, and I was arguing with him in my inside of me. I was saying that. He did not say that. I listened. He did not say any such thing. And do you know? Brother Jim went away from there with a blessing on his soul because God was working with him, and what the preacher was saying was, and the Lord was doing the interpreting to him, so, and he was getting all kind of stuff out of it. And there I sat dry, blaming the preacher for being dry. The Lord says, come unto me. Come unto me. You can fix that problem. I'm going to tell you, that stirred me up. I went away. I mean, Brother Jim, he didn't even know he'd done it, but he corrected me. He rebuked me. I went away rebuked, saying, that wasn't the preacher. That was Marty. Marty wasn't in the place to get anything from God, and he didn't get anything. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me when you're not in the right place. Come unto me. I'll give you something. I'll bless you. Don't make an excuse. It's not the preacher. It's not the people around you. Oh, I'd serve God, but my wife. I'd serve God, but my family. It's not your family. It's not your wife. It's you. No excuse holds up to God. God can bless you in the middle of all that. And right in the middle, He wants to use you to show them the way of salvation. He wants you to come and learn of Him. And then what do you do? No, you don't act all ugly and claim it's okay. No, you learn of the Lord. And you act like He acts. The Lord puts it in our hearts. That's what we want to do. I want to be more like Him. I want to live for Him. And the master was angry and said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. I realize this scripture is actually talking about the Jewish nation and their rejection of God and then him going out and getting... I realize that, but this is also... The scriptures are so wide, and this is talking about those that was invited in their places, and many times because of the things that they have and the position they hold, that they're not in the place. They're not in the place that they're heavy laden, burdened. They're fine with their lives. And they're saying to the Lord, although they may be religious enough, they're saying to the Lord, I really don't need you. And I don't need your supper. Thank you. Have me excused. But go out and get the halt, the blind, the poor. Oh, they'll come willing enough. Go get those that really, really need it. They'll come willing enough. But the truth of it is, we all are damaged. We all need it. We just don't know we do. Come. The Lord says, come. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou had commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Could it be that there comes a time that the Lord, in His bidding, I don't think the Lord really stops. I think the language can get us, but I think if you really search into it, it's not really the Lord that stops. It's that we get into a hard situation that we can never hear it anymore. We do it to ourselves. People do it to themselves. They get to a place so hard and unbelieving and so determined to do wrong and follow the paths of lust and of flesh and of those things that they get so desensitized that the Lord's voice is never heard again. The come is never heard again. The invitation can't get through the thickness and the callousness of their souls. Could it happen to me? Could it happen to you? Could the Lord work so in your life of saying, come, take care of your problem. You got bitterness, you got problems, you got places that you know is not like me. Come, come. I'll take care of it. And after a while, it seems like it's not important anymore. It doesn't matter. There's not an answer and there's not a solution. And many times it gets to the point that I'm right. And I see the... Do you see the Lord with that in Him? If the church was all like me, oh, what kind of church would it be? If everyone was like me, is that the way the Lord is? For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of the supper. Over in Isaiah 55, and we'll get through here in just a minute. So, Isaiah 55 and 1 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now listen, come is the cry. Come is your part. If you never come, you'll never connect. The Lord pleads, the Lord invites, the Lord draws by His Spirit. But you must come. I'm sure you've heard this story too. The story of a man that goes into the barber shop. So goes in and speaks to the barber about God. And the barber says, I don't even believe in God. I don't believe there is one. And the man is, oh, well, why? And the man and the barber says, you look at all the heartache out there in the world. You look at all the problems. You look at all the suffering that's out there. I can't believe that there's a loving God, a God out there with all that going on. Well, it troubled the man. He left the barber shop and left. Went down the street a little while and he run into a man down there, had hair down to his back and a big old beard down to his belly. And he saw that and he turned around and he went back into the barber shop and said, and you call yourself a barber. You ain't no barber. And he said, well, what are you talking about? He said, I just run into a guy down there and said, he's got hair down to here and a big old beard down to here, and right here you are and call yourself a barber. And he said, well, I can't help them unless they come to me. That's right. Come unto me. You got the problems? The Lord ought to do something about it. No, come unto me. Listen, ho, means listen up. Listen. Get your attention. Everyone that thirsts, again, is the same kind of language. Because the Lord knows if you're not thirsty, you're not going to drink water. It's life-giving, but if you don't have any thirst for it... You know, one of the first signs of sickness, serious sickness, is loss of appetite. Do you know one of the first signs of spiritually being sick is a loss of spiritual appetite? When you don't want the good things of God. When you don't seeking and longing and wanting more and more of that. There's a sickness taking place when you're not coming to the Lord. In the Scripture with the one brother Carr, I think, used the other day. Hebrews 4. Let's go ahead and get it so I don't butcher it up too bad. Hebrews 4. I don't remember exactly. It's at the end of the chapter. Hebrews 4 and 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," thank God, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not come, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." That's the God I know, right? There's the Jesus that I know. There's another real good description of the Lord. He was tempted in all points, as you and I are, and without sin. And then it says, "Let us therefore come." How? Boldly. Why boldly? I mean, when I get ready to go to the Lord, I mean, I'm humbled. I'm humble. You know, it's not contradictory to be humbly and boldly at the same time. Because this Scripture is saying not to be bold in yourself. Come boldly. Come. How? Boldly. Why? Boldly. Because I'm trusting in Christ. That's why. Can I go boldly? Do I know that I can get help? Yes, I do. Am I humble? Sure, I'm humble. I don't deserve any of it. But can I come humble? Yeah, because He died. Not because of me, but I can come because Jesus died. Do you know this fits saints and sinners? How should a sinner come boldly with faith in Christ to save him? There's grace to help in time of need. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Folks, the Lord wants us to come. He opened up a throne of grace for you and I to be partakers of, that we can get victory over anything in our life that's unlike Christ. Come boldly to it. Gain it. Get it. Embrace it. How often? As often as you need to come. Today? Tomorrow? 2 times tomorrow, 6 times tomorrow, endlessly tomorrow, come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence and assurance of the Christ that we serve for the victory we need in our lives. It's endless. I challenge you tonight. You run God out of grace. Just run Him out. You use all the grace you can and you try and see if you can run Him out of grace. It's as free as the air we breathe. You pray for me.